Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So last week in our worship here, we celebrated this gift of the Holy Spirit that was given upon the church and all followers of Jesus. We celebrated that with the Sunday of Pentecost. And let me tell you, this last week through Vacation Bible School has certainly been a Holy Spirit-filled week. As you saw up here with all of the kids and the energy and the passion. And for all of those who helped, we give thanks. It's been an amazing way to see God working and the Spirit leading all of those kids and parents and grandparents and teachers and helpers. It's been an amazing week. One of the things that we find out, though, today in our scriptures and in the stories is that God's Spirit doesn't always work in ways that we expect. In fact, maybe God's Spirit seldom works in ways that we would expect. And if you think back, if you look through the stories throughout the Bible, this kind of starts to make sense, actually. I mean, even with Jesus, you know, God's Spirit works through thick-headed fishermen and tax collectors who never get it. They never really seem to understand Jesus' teaching. God's Spirit worked through Peter, who denied Jesus, and Thomas, who doubted the resurrection. And today, in these scriptures, we heard about God's Spirit working in the face of all kinds of other struggles, even the worst of them, even death. As people of God try to gather and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and to share that good news that gives life to all people. Even when the situation gets most difficult, when it seems like darkness may be winning, God's Spirit brings light and life to the world. Just look at what happened in the earliest of the Christian church, in the earliest days. I know a lot of times I hear people talk about if the church were just like it were in the earliest days, we'd be okay. Actually, there were quite a few struggles that the early Christian church had, and there was still the same unfaithfulness, if you will, people straying and people doing things against God's will. The first apostles and those who followed Jesus at the very beginning had a tough start. The presence of the Holy Spirit was given to them at Pentecost, but it certainly meant that the power of God would always be with them no matter what, but it did not mean that life necessarily got easier for them, for those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, we heard in today's scripture from Acts, the apostles were all thrown in prison. The story says that great numbers were being added to the Lord so that people were carrying out the sick into the streets and laid them out on cots and mats, hoping that even Peter's shadow would be cast on them. This was a Holy Spirit-filled example of ministry where people hoped that Jesus' power and presence would fall on the sick, even through the shadow of a man like Peter. In spite of, though, this apparent success of people being added to the numbers of the church daily, there were others who were set against them and set against the church. The high priests and the religious leaders were jealous of this success, and so they threw the apostles in prison. This is not a positive start to a fledgling Christian community that was supposed to be led by the Spirit. And then there was Stephen. Stephen had been chosen with six others at a point where this Spirit-led community was growing and multiplying too rapidly. And so the apostles said, thought, we need some help here. You know, we need somebody to help us with the administration of this growing community, with ministering to others and serving others. And so they chose seven other leaders, and Stephen was among them. Stephen was a second-generation leader, if you will. And it says that he did great wonders and signs. Wonders and signs that previously had been ascribed only to those first apostles. Stephen was not necessarily called to do these wonders and signs, at least as far as the apostles knew. He wasn't even called necessarily to be a preacher, and yet here we hear that his words were so filled with the Spirit that he stirred up a great successful following. And again, there are many who are set against him and against the ministry of the church and against the leading of the Holy Spirit. So first they did everything they could to stop him. First they brought in their best speakers and their best preachers. But the scripture says that even those could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. So then they brought in false witnesses to stir the boiling pot even more. And you know, throughout it all, Stephen followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is what the scriptures have in mind when, you know, it's an interesting part of the scripture. It says that the chief priest and the leaders of the temple are looking at Stephen, and it says that as they looked at him, his face was like the face of an angel. Well, obviously, they didn't see that. You know, if I would think that if someone saw that, you know, the face was like the face of an angel, they would have thought, oh, the Holy Spirit or something's going on here, right? Something. This is more for our benefit to hear these words. When the scriptures say this, this is what they have in mind is to let readers later know that this one is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That his glowing face is really not unlike the story of Jesus at the Transfiguration, as Jesus glows brightly with the brightness of God. Or it's not unlike Moses, who comes down from the mountain and he has just seen the face of God, and he brings the law of God down, the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. And it says that Moses is glowing. So Stephen has this same glowing appearance, which is none other than this power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've seen something like that. It doesn't mean literally maybe that they're glowing, but did you see the kids up here earlier? I mean, they were filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, glowing in a way with God's Spirit. So throughout all of this, Stephen followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. No matter what obstacle came at him, he kept his eyes on Jesus. Even when they dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him to death, he didn't see the rage in the faces of his persecutors. No, what he saw was Jesus. Beyond anything that anybody could do to him, he saw Jesus. Even in his final moments of life, he prayed like Jesus had prayed from the cross. First, the scriptures say, "Lord Jesus," Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he prayed, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Forgive them, even my enemies, even those who put me to death." Again, reminiscent of prayers that Jesus prayed from the cross. Definitely a spirit-filled moment. It was a tough start for the early Christian church. A tough start. But even in the face of difficulties, the Holy Spirit is working. From this point, Stephen's death becomes this pivotal watershed moment in the history of the Christian church, because all of the ministry at that point had been done in Jerusalem. But from this point on, we don't hear anything else in the whole rest of the book of Acts about any active ministry happening in Jerusalem itself. Now, we hear about conversions that happen in Acts. We hear about great things, people turning to the Lord in Acts, but not as a result of any active ministry. In fact, the apostles, everybody else, it says, the scriptures say that most others are scattered throughout the countryside in desolate areas. The apostles stay there, the 12 apostles, But soon their own ranks will dwindle through their own martyrdoms, through their own deaths for their faith, the continued threat against them and the early church. And yet, even through the difficulties, the Holy Spirit is working. This tough start for the early Spirit-led community becomes something for us to look at and to see, even in our own struggles, no matter what we face, that this promise of God's presence, this promise of the Holy Spirit, is that God is always with us. I know that we, probably every person in here in this room, could say in a way that you've had a tough start with something in your life. You've had a tough go at something, whether as an individual or as a family or as a church, this church even. I can say without any doubt that at some point, even in the, whether it be the near or the distant future, that you will again face struggles that will feel like obstacles to your faith. God knows that there are enough people around us right now, whether in this room or in this community, who are experiencing those obstacles and those struggles. It's enough to make you want to shake your fists at God and say, why? If we're a Spirit-led community, if your Spirit is with us, then why? I wonder, as Stephen stood there or knelt there being stoned, facing his own death, you know, some people might say, oh, I'm sure he had confidence as he was dying that God was with him. But I got to wonder about that. I'm not so sure. You know, when you're facing that kind of death, now obviously he was Spirit-filled to be able to pray those prayers. God, forgive them. Lord, I commend my spirit to you. And yet I'm sure he was also saying, why? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit, even in the face of certain struggles, even in the face of death? Well, one thing, it doesn't always mean that life gets easier. We see that throughout the history of the Christian church. But what it means is it gives us a new perspective, a perspective of life and light in the face of death and darkness. It gives us a perspective to be able to face these obstacles and these struggles, knowing that we are not alone. We learn from Stephen and from all of those who faced that first tough start in the earliest of days in the Christian church that this gift of the Holy Spirit helps us to keep our focus on Jesus, helps us to keep our focus on light and life. And when our focus is there, amazing things can happen, even in the face of adversity, or maybe especially. We find strength to do things that otherwise might have seemed impossible. We see things happening that are more than just coincidence. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Our scripture helps us to focus on that. That helps us to focus on this point that we hear throughout this section of Acts that we're reading is we heard from Romans. It summarizes this gift of the Spirit in the face of all the greatest struggles. Paul writes, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, this peace isn't peace like everything is happy. You know, I'm happy and everything's going to be okay. This peace is a peace that brings hope and joy. Joy is different from happiness. Joy is knowing that God is with me, even when I can't summon up the energy to be happy. So we have peace with God. It's the kind of peace that Stephen experienced, that the apostles experienced, even then those in that tough start, those struggles. And so Paul can also write what we heard in our readings, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Now, some people will say about sufferings, you know, Paul says the suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. Some people will say about suffering that the Holy Spirit is what leads us into this suffering, that God maybe wants this for a purpose. Others will say, well, no, God doesn't want this, that these are just facts of life, but that God is with us. Friends, I don't know what the answer is. I do know I prefer to think that God would not want any bad things, any suffering to happen to us. But just as soon as I say this, I also experience other people who do experience those sufferings and know without a doubt that God has led them there for a reason. So I'm not sure what the answer of that is, but I do know that no matter how tough your start is, that God promises to be with us. The interesting thing about this last week, in this Spirit-filled week of Vacation Bible School, is that the themes that they had been focusing on, you know, a lot of times the daily themes of the Vacation Bible School, what happens with a week in Vacation Bible School is usually you start up on a high and we celebrate, yay, we're God's children, and isn't that great? And then eventually, by the middle of the week, we get to the cross. We get to something difficult in our life. And then at the end of the week, we get back up to the high and say, all right, now go out. You're children of God. Remember, God is with you. This week's every daily theme, this week is different. This Vacation Bible School was different than most I've seen. We started the service looking at the scriptures and the themes for each day. What every single day's theme dealt with was a struggle that our kids deal with, that you deal with. I mean, we just look at these themes and we hear those phrases. Even though you're different, Jesus loves you. Even when you don't understand, Jesus loves you, right? Even when you're left out, Jesus loves you. Even when you're afraid, Jesus loves you. And even though you do wrong, what? Jesus loves you. All of these are struggles that our kids face. All of these are struggles that we face. Notice there isn't a day where we start out saying, you know, hey, just because you're a child of God, everything is great. No, this Vacation Bible School was unique because it reflects every single day the tough start that our church, our Christian church, had thousands of years ago. It reflects the tough start that many of us might have in our lives, maybe some of us on a daily basis. This is the good news, that in spite of all those obstacles and in spite of all those struggles, Jesus loves you. That the Holy Spirit promises to be with you through those times. And friends, the real gift is, It's not enough for us just to say, to tell someone else in the face of their struggles, it'll be okay, Jesus loves you. We get to be that presence of Jesus to other people. We are part of the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with others, to share God's presence with others. That's so much of what our kids have been focusing on through the week. That in the face of all of these obstacles in life, they can go and be with others, showing God's love, whether it's talking about God's love or whether it's just simply in our actions. Perhaps it's just with being with a person. You know, sometimes we want so badly to help somebody and we don't know the words to say. We don't know what to do. Sometimes you can't say or do anything, but your presence is enough. Your presence is nothing less than God's presence for people facing obstacles. By the leading of the Spirit, we are a Spirit-led community because we belong to the same church and the same community and the same Spirit that the early apostles and that Stephen belonged to. And by the leading of the Spirit, may we find the courage and the strength and the wisdom to share that focus on Jesus and His love for us, to share the love of God in Jesus Christ in all circumstances. And all of God's people say, Amen. Thanks be to God.